Hello, and welcome back to FPL 360. After a little break, since Chuck and I have had a lot going on over at Roto with the Roto World for the World Cup, we are back to finally talk about it. The prices have dropped. The wait is almost over. Chuck, how pumped are you that FPL is within striking distance?
Oh, I can't wait. Although, I wish they had waited until a little bit after the World Cup was over before dropping everything.
Yeah, for our US-based listeners, World Cup prices being dropped with the prices being dropped with the World Cup and 4th of July in the middle of the week was rather hectic for me. Did you do anything exciting for the 4th?
I did not. I slept.
Nothing wrong with that. Speaking of sleeping, now, I didn't really have another way to transition into this, but the first thing we're going to talk about is the World Cup. Now, it's probably not on everyone's minds in terms of the impact for FPL players, but there is one club that has a ton of guys still going on in Russia trying to get their first World Cup. What is your thoughts on the impact of guys who went the distance at the tournament, and how do you think that's going to affect their performances, especially in the early season with not a ton of time off before the campaign kicks off?
Well, a lot of them probably aren't going to play to start the season, because generally after the season ends, most players get about a month off of non-football activities before returning to start their preseason regimes. And with the World Cup in the middle of that, and England and their entire Premier League roster being one of the teams left in the Final Four, there's a lot of guys that aren't getting their normal rest.
Yeah, one club more so than others is your beloved Tottenham.
Yep.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how upset would you be if the large chunk of Spurs brings home some silverware for Belgium with the drought going on currently in the Premier League?
I'll be pretty fucking heated, not even gonna lie, because at this point, there's a 75% chance that a Spurs player comes home with the World Cup title. But
yes,
they can't win a trophy in the league.
So, I mean, taking into account, obviously, you have Dele, Harry Kane, then you have all the defenders. Out of all those guys, is there one of them who you could see making a quicker return to action in the Premier League, opposed to the others getting time off? I'm going to assume that Harry Kane is going to need some time off.
It's easily Hugo. I don't think he really counts for this, but it's the keeper.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking outfield. I hadn't even put a check next to Lloris's name because he's a goalkeeper, so that's why. But I guess in terms of outfielders,
then it's going to be Dembele because he's played the least out of Spurs players still at the World Cup.
Yeah, that's fair. Sticking with the topic of Spurs players at the World Cup, what are your initial thoughts on Harry Kane's price at 12.5? And then we're going to segue into Salah. But before we get there, do you think, just because of how he's performed at the beginning of the season, plus the World Cup at 12.5, you think it's like kind of crazy to have him in your 11 to start the season off with? Because personally, I didn't even consider him.
Oh, I'm not considering starting the season with him in my 11. Now, what I do have in the way I configure my team is I have 5.5 in the bank, so after the first month of the season, I can get him.
Yeah, that's something everyone really, really needs to keep in mind. I started with Salah in my first 11 at 13. Now I have like $3 million in the bank, which I'm saving for Kane at some point. But that is something to be very conscious of when you're going through. Because at first I hadn't really given a bunch of thought of it until Chuck actually pointed it out to me on Twitter. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on. since we've already talked a bit about Kane, what do you think Salah's outlook is for this season? I mean, we know he was lights out. He scored both of Egypt's goals in the World Cup. He has plenty of time to recover. He's probably going to be, they're probably going to try to elect him president in Egypt.
He's going to roll out day one, roll it for Liverpool. I mean, he has enough rest that I'm not really concerned about him not starting the season. Liverpool has a very soft schedule to open the season, so I'm expecting goals.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of other high-priced guys, I mean, I guess the next guy who comes to mind for me, just to hop around positions, what are your initial thoughts on De Gea at $6 million, the only $6 million price goalkeeper?
I mean, I think he'll be fine. The United defense is always solid. Last year, he even at his price, which was, what, 5.6, I believe, something like that?
Yeah, check. He ended at 5.9.
He was still the most valuable keeper points per million. So it's like, you're paying a premium price, but it's still worth it.
Yeah, I would agree there. I've never been a huge fan of starting the season out with the expensive goalkeepers, though. And even though I am a United fan, I'm not worried about the fact that he had that howler in Russia. I'm just more so worried with, like, that's one of the positions I saw I could cut corners with to save funds for bringing in Kane at a later date. Just stick with the goalkeepers. Courtois, 5.5. Any worries about a hangover, or are we kind of in the consensus on goalkeepers not needing a ton of time to recover before the season?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to need a ton of time. Where Courtois' case, I'm not sure how I feel about Chelsea, so I'm not really starting the season with Chelsea players in general, because we don't know who their manager is. Are they getting Sarri? Conte's still leading their preseason training. Like, what the hell's going on at Chelsea?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I have no idea, because just with the pulse of what's going on, it's really hard to gauge. It seems like the disconnect there is so bad that they don't even care that everyone knows about it, which is, I mean, I'm not as concerned as Chelsea fans probably are with the direction of the club, because look, I mean, at the end of the day, they still have the talent, and unless there's a player coup in Courtois and Hazard leave, I think they'll be fine. I'm more worried about Morata's mentality being, you know, just with how last season went, the whole World Cup and everything. I'm a little bit more worried about him, but the rest of the guys, especially Olivier Giroud, he's looked great, so not too concerned there. Before we get into some budget picks, surprises, and do a little boom or bust in terms of value, the one other guy I wanted to specifically talk about is Riyad Mahrez, because it looks like he's pretty much done to go to Man City.
And there right goes now, his FPL value.
Yeah, so he's priced at $9 million. How do you see him factoring into that team? I mean, I could see him getting a bit more time in the beginning of the season just with, like, Sterling in this long World Cup run, but do you think he's almost, I don't know, like FPL fodder if he's stuck in that rotation?
At $9 million, yeah. Considering that either A, like one of him or Sterling is going to be shafted in this situation, and at the beginning of the season, it'll be up to him to win his spot in the rotation. Obviously, Sterling will be trying his hardest to keep it, and I just don't think that works well for either of them, considering that there's going to be rotation in the City side. And, like, we thought it was bad last year. It's going to now be even worse.
I mean, the one thing that does help is Bernardo Silva did not have a good World Cup. And Leroy Sané is going to be fresh. So it's probably just going to be the Sterling-Mahrez competition. Although it would be interesting, I'm going to be hot on Sané this year just because he's going to want to prove everyone that he should have been in that German side. And I'm sure Guardiola has been using that to fire him up.
And City also has a cakewalk to start the season.
Yeah. So we're going to do some quick hits now. Pretty much, I'm just going to rattle off some player prices, and Chuck and I are going to do a little bit of a debate later on. In the summer, we will be doing positional previews, but since the World Cup's still going on and other things are in play, we'll just do a little quick hit now. So first guy I want to direct, Martin Dubravka, Newcastle goalkeeper, $5 million.
No.
Yay or nay?
No. 4.5? Sure. Yeah. 5? No.
Yeah, when I looked at the list originally, I couldn't find him, and then it's because he was up at $5 million. I'm surprised about that. Great value last year, but I don't know. Let's see. Out of the newly promoted keepers, Smithy's from Cardiff, 4.5.
Well, so do we know for a fact that Smithy's is the starter?
From what I saw, I would think he'll be the starter. Him or Etheridge? I think the guy who... I know he played well in the championship, but I'm pretty sure they bought Smithy's as the competition.
Yeah, I know Smithy's was purchased for competition. Yeah. I just don't know which one is going to eventually start.
All right, we got
so
one
that's enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's another goalkeeper we will mention, but we're going to discuss about him a little bit more in depth. Moving on to defenders, Andy Robertson, $6 million.
Honestly, considering Liverpool's run to open the year, yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Benjamin Mendy, also at $6
million. Danilo's hurt. Yes.
Yeah, plus Mendy has not been playing a lot at the World Cup, so that helps, even though France are still in.
And Mendy's still the best left back in the Premier League.
Yeah, sticking on the World Cup thing, I wanted this guy in there, but I don't think I can touch him now. Harry Maguire, 5.5.
Not to start the season, but considering he has a much better central defense partner in Johnny Evans, later.
Yeah. Sebastian Lipsteiner from Arsenal, their new signing, $5 million.
At five? Totally. He could have easily been 5.5 or 6. Arsenal's another team with a pretty good run after their first two games. I'm definitely taking looks at their defense.
Yeah, I agree there. Another Liverpool guy, Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's at $5 million.
No, just because you're going to have a completely healthy preseason for Nathaniel Klein, who's going to be back in the rotation. And I don't think Trent starts nearly as many games as he did last year, especially considering that, crap. I'm blanking on his name. Their other right back.
For Joe Gomez?
Yeah, he's also going to be healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that Liverpool defense, because they went from having no one in a span of a year. Now they have too much talent.
Somebody's going to get sold.
Yeah. Sticking with fullbacks, West Ham's newest recruit outside of Jack Wilshere, Ryan Fredericks from Fulham. He's at $5 million.
Oh, yeah. I like the West Ham defense.
Yeah, I mean, Zabaleta is going to be pretty much rotation. And then the final defender, I like this guy. He's already on my team. I think the price is just too appealing at $4.5 million, Cedric. From Southampton.
I think he's in both of our teams. And Southampton made a new center back signing in Yannick Vestergaard today. So yeah.
What do you think? He'll probably be 4.5, right?
4.5 or 5.
Yeah, cuz I mean the only 5 defender from Southampton is Ryan Bertrand. Any interest in him at 5, or would you prefer Cedric?
I mean, I think Bertrand will end up racking up the assist again, because he made too many key passes for them not to turn to anything last year. So yeah. I think both are valid options, as is McCarthy and Nett. Just right now, the name of the game is price shaving.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on to the midfielders. We already mentioned him, but I guess we'll have to... we'll skip over Sterling. We're kind of both in agreement that he's going to have some time off when he gets back. Your boy, Hunring Sung, $8.5 million. Is that
I'm starting the year with him in my team because he got knocked out early enough that he's going to get his rest and come out firing.
Were you surprised he was only at 8.5?
Oh, yeah. But then once I realized what FPL was doing to allow us to fit Harry Kane and Mo Salah in our teams, then I was like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah. Pascal Gross, 7 million.
I don't know. Maybe.
So I'm split between him and another midfielder who's at 7 million, and that is Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Well, Mkhitaryan's a yes.
You think? Yeah, I mean, Mkhitaryan at 7 is just too.
It's too good to pass up. He upside considering head, what he's going to be setting up. And the fact that there's a real defense behind him, and add in that Lucas Torreira is no longer listed on Sampoli's website, meaning he's probably on his way to Arsenal. I can't.
Yeah, it's too good right now. Guy who was a FPL darling last season, Milivojevic.
No.
6.5.
No. Nope.
That is insane.
Insanely high. His year last year is absolutely not repeatable. No way.
Just thinking about how he was so nailed on, and then, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I guess I understand because he scored 10 goals, but still, 6.5, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I agree.
5.2 was his ceiling last season.
Like, I could have seen him going to 5.5, but 6, no.
So, sticking with 6.5, Ryan Sessegnon, Fulham. I mean,
not to start the season. I need to see how Fulham performs. Like, the promoted teams, they need to show me why their players need to be in my team before they end up in my team.
See, sticking in the 6.5 region, Richarlison.
No.
Here's another interesting one. My favorite player from last season, Johan Berg Gudmundsson. He's at 6 million. I'm going to say no.
So I had him in my team. And then I found a better 6 million midfielder in Andros Townsend and cut him.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. The guy I like from Burnley the most this season, their forgotten hero, their best fringe player in pretty much all formats, Robbie Brady, 5.5.
Oh, yeah, the fact that he's back this year, I can't wait.
They're going to be Chris Wood. Telling you, Chris Wood is going to have a field day with all that.
Well, if they still play the 4-4-2 with this,
exactly.
Can't wait.
Aaron Moy, after a great season, he put up 113 points last year. He's at 5.5.
Potentially, I like what Huddersfield has done during this offseason, shoring up the wing position, but I don't think Aaron Moy is going to be relied on it as much to create anymore. So I need to see if the offense runs through Aaron Moy or runs through Alex Pritchard.
Yeah, I mean, then you also have, so you have Pritchard, Ince, Van Lapara, and Sobey all at 5 million. I do like Moy, but also he's got a ton of mileage on him from being Mr. Everything with Huddersfield and then doing the same exact thing with Australia, and he covered so much ground that I can see him having a little bit of a needing a little bit of longer time to get his feet back under him this season. If I was David Wagner, I would not have him touch a soccer ball for quite a long time. Get that man some rest. Let's see, old face in a new place, Ki Sung Young at Newcastle, 5 million.
Not touch a Newcastle midfielder in OFPL.
Will Hughes, 5 million, Watford.
I don't know. If Marco Silva was still in charge, yes. But since Silva's not and they have so many midfielders, you just don't know.
And then looking at sticking with Watford, I guess Deulofeu at 5.5 million. I guess technically, based upon his price and what he offers, that is a good value pickup.
Yes, see no reason why not to fly with him at that price.
Yeah, and then the other guy I wanted to mention, I don't know how he's going to factor into this team. He was good when he was playing in the Scottish Premier League, but Stuart Armstrong at Southampton.
To be determined.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys. That's the other thing, too. I mean, it's almost too... I hate to say
it's
this.
It's never too early.
About the new arrivals, because you got to see how they line up and everything, and then, obviously, with Mark Hughes over there, how he's going to set up that team. A guy I looked for and didn't realize, I was thought something happened or it was a misprint. Arthur Masuaku is now a midfielder at 5.4, pretty much ruining his value.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's not the only thing ruining his value, because Cresswell's going to start at the left back position. Fredericks is going to start at right back. Yeah, Masuaku's going to start on left bench.
Yeah, because he can only play on the left side of the field. Moving on to the forwards. When we went through all this, it was crazy how...
The forwards are wild this year.
Yeah, I was writing my forwards preview with like value picks for RotoWorld this afternoon, and it took me like an extra hour and a half when I went through and realized who was priced where. I guess we'll start with the big boys. Aubameyang, Sergio Aguero, Lukaku, all at 11. Anyone catch your eye up there?
Yes, no, no. Meaning, yeah. Aubameyang is the only one that I would consider starting the season with, and I'm not even starting the season with him, just because the budget forwards this year, with my front line of Arnautovic, Tosin, and Zaha, all at 7 apiece, that's real good.
Yeah, we both were pretty firm on Zaha and Tosin at 7 million. The other guy I have in there, I'll wait because he's priced a little bit lower to mention him. Let's go with, I guess, moving down from the premium guys, you've got Firmino at 9.5 million. I think he's a must if you don't have.
Oh, yeah. Consider he didn't start a single game for Brazil, so he's fresh. Still one of the centerpieces to Liverpool attack.
So I mentioned him briefly, Chris Wood at 6.5, Ayoze Perez at 6.5. I'm in full support of Wood there. I know people are worried about them potentially qualifying for the, you know, main stage of the Europa League. And I've been seeing some stuff about Ayoze Perez, but I'm not convinced in that argument.
Yes, so I honestly think Burnley might get relegated this year, but I don't think it's going to be due to Chris Wood not playing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to get relegated. I think they're going to do like what Leicester did when they were in the Champions League. I think they're going to be flirting with it, and then they'll right the ship and finish the table.
Yeah, it's just they don't have enough depth, and they haven't signed really anyone that's going to make me think that they're going to have the depth to make it and compete on all fronts.
Well, one of the things that, you know, people are obviously forgetting just because he was out for so long is having Robbie Brady back is like buying a brand new starting winger. So that's
yeah, but care of. But when Robbie Brady was out, they were starting Scott Arfield, who's no longer with the team, and Aaron Lennon.
Yeah, I've been keeping my ear. I haven't really seen too many, at least in the last couple of days, any strong transfer ties with them, but I would hope they would bring someone in. I like what they're doing over there. The third forward in my team right now at 6 million is Charlie Austin.
You like playing with fire.
I love Charlie Austin because he scores when he's fit, and he should be fit finally. He came back at the end of the season. Him and Andy Carroll, I go back and forth. I always tip one of them at the beginning of the year, hoping that one of them will stay fit. I went with Austin this year. I'm expecting maybe he stays fit for the first 6-7 game weeks, and you get 4 or 5 goals out of him, and then hope he's done, but I like him. I feel like the upside's there at $6 million.
I'm just going to stay off of both.
All right, going to our consensus, guys. Zaha at $7 million. I think, I know people are saying, oh, he doesn't get the clean sheet thing. He's listed a forward now. I really don't care.
He doesn't need it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He last season, he scored all 9 of his goals in 21 appearances playing actually as a forward for Crystal Palace. It makes sense he did the positional switch. Yeah, I mean, I'm all in on him. You're all in on him. What do you think his team selected by percentage is right now?
I'm going to say 15.
Wow, 31.8%.
Holy fuck. That's a lot.
So I didn't – yeah, it kind of deters – I guess he's really not a value pick at that point if everyone's onto him. But, I mean, I'm in support of that. I have nothing wrong with that. And then we also were both in agreements on Sengtosin from Everton. What do you think he's at? We'll go with over, under 8%.
Over.
Yeah, he's at 10.9.
I can't believe he's only at 10.9, but
yeah, right.
Like, if you're gonna put Saha in that man at that much, you better put Tosin up there too. Goodness,
yeah.
Saha is the third most selected forward in FPL right now.
Yeah, it's funny. My list for guys that it was Salah, Tosin, Charlie Austin.
Why do almost 40% of teams have Harry Kane in them?
That's fine by me. That is fine by me. Sticking with Everton, we passed over him when we did the initial list. Gylfi Sigurdsson at 7.5 million.
No, just because I think there's so many good midfielders that are underpriced.
Yeah, so the funny thing there is, like you said, when I was going through the numbers originally, I'm like, oh, he's a must, right? And then when I saw Mkhitaryan at 7, I was like, oh.
You also have Lingard at 7, Gross at 7.
But I'm not touching Lingard because of the World Cup.
A healthy Mikel Antonio at 7.
Yeah, that was the other guy I was
going to Theo Walcott at 6.5.
Well, the main guy is Lanzini at 6.5, but he's not going to be fit to start the season.
Also, rotational Aaron Ramsey at 7.5.
Yeah, if he can stay fit. Going back to West Ham, and this, I guess, at least from Chuck and I's perspective, as guys who play over at Togo with peripheral points and all that stuff, and with the goalkeepers usually getting grazed over, this is a guy that everyone wants because you can wait on him. Lukas Fabianski at 4.5. Is that almost criminal?
Yeah, there's a reason why he's the second most owned keeper in all of FPL right now, because that is a steal.
Yeah, last season he had 157 points, which was one less than Ederson. And you look at that, you have the goalkeeper on a relegated team who gave up tons of goals, putting up one less point than the goalkeeper on the championship winning side who had an excellent defense. Fabianski, he's pretty much a must. He's in my team, him and Matt Ryan both at 4-5.
I have him and Ben Hamer.
Ooh, you think he's going to... I mean, there's a competition
there. I think Jonas Lossel loses his job by the end of the year.
Really? That could be a good specific prediction for you to hold on to when we talk about Huddersfield. I think Lossel's good. I liked him. But I'm more interested in those defenders because they're all 4.5.
There's also the fact that there's not many Is there a 4.0 keeper that even starts this year?
Let's see. Based no. Off.
You got Speroni, Baruch, Norris, Button, Hamer, Stecklenburg.
Yeah.
So he's the closest to being a 4.0 starter.
Yeah, because John Ruddy's 4.5 over at Wolves.
And John Ruddy is not a starter anymore.
Yeah, so having done kind of an overview of this, and we hinted at it a little bit, which clubs are you looking at based upon fixtures? For the opening stretch.
Let me pull up my handy-dandy list. But number one, outside of City, who are going to be very highly owned, is going to be Liverpool.
So West Ham, Palace, Brighton, Leicester, Tottenham. That's a good run to start.
It sucks because Tottenham has a good run, but considering their entire starting 11 won't be ready, I can't start the season loading up on them. Chelsea also has an awesome run, but until they figure out what the hell they're doing, again, can't touch them. The most
So,
interesting teams to me are going to be Everton and Southampton.
yeah, that was another thing with my backing with Charlie Austin is he just needs to be fit for the easiest games of the season.
Well,
Him and Cedric.
and both Everton and Southampton, they have the games that I put as 50-50 flips on my fixture difficulty rankings. And because Everton has Wolverhampton, Southampton, Bournemouth, Huddersfield, West Ham. Southampton has Burnley, Everton, Leicester, Palace, and Brighton. Both of those teams could easily get through those games with like 13 points, or they could finish with 7.
Yeah, I mean, going back to Spurs with that, are you at all interested in Lloriente, or do you think they're going to sign someone else or just have Son play through the middle?
I think they're just going to play Son through the middle.
Yeah, because the Lor I don't want to fall into the
I'm
Lloriente trap.
not even entertaining that.
Yeah, and then I mean, on the flip side of it, you have a club like who's at Newcastle, and they play Tottenham, Cardiff, Chelsea, Man City, and Arsenal.
Yeah, Newcastle and the promoted teams all screwed to begin the season.
Yeah, Huddersfield as well, Chelsea, City, Cardiff at Everton,
I
Palace.
don't
I mean, if
mind
that happens, that's terrible.
Huddersfield after their first two games, which is the
Yeah.
same thing I'm rolling with if Arsenal starts, even though Arsenal has an interesting schedule because they start with City. They're gonna start with a weakened City squad because they have a lot of players still at the World Cup. Then they face a Chelsea squad that we don't know what it is. Then West Ham, Cardiff, Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean the only Chelsea guy I was thinking about and has nothing to do with his price is just, I mean, if he's even still there at this point, is Morata at 9 million.
The funny thing is, do you think Morata starts the season as a starter?
But if France beat Belgium and get to the final, that's what, an extra week of stuff on Giroud,
The
even though he
interesting
hasn't been starting.
thing is with Giroud is he doesn't play an extremely physically taxing style of football.
It's funny you mention that because from watching him with France, I not only think he's better than I thought he was before, but I also think he's actually kind of like lazy.
Giroud glides around the field and just ends up in spots to score goals.
He's so positionally aware that it almost looks like he's not trying when
He's
he's on
like
the pitch. I
Mesut
mean, yeah, except Mesut Ozil literally wasn't trying at the end of the season for Arsenal. I mean, I guess he was hurt, but I don't. Yeah, so Ozil does it the
But
wrong
even
way. Giroud does it the right way.
Ozil at his best doesn't put
Yeah,
in any effort.
yeah, that's
Or
fair.
let's do a much better comparison. Luka Modric.
Yeah, and then you look at his tracking numbers, and it's like, holy cow, this guy covers so much ground. Yeah, he's really growing on me as he's definitely up there in like my top four, at least top five for midfielders in the world right now.
And the funny thing is, in reality, Chelsea would be best served starting both Morata and Giroud.
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably also be best served with a new manager, but they can't really seem to figure that out. Well, speaking of Croatia and France and all these guys, Belgium, we're talking about, we're going to wrap up today's episode by giving our predictions. The first game we're going to start with is France, Belgium. Chuck, do you want to lead us off or do you want me to start?
I'm going to take the team with more Tottenham players against the team with fewer Tottenham players. So I'm rolling with Belgium. And no, I'm not making a biased pick at all.
Yeah, so I have been pulling for Belgium because of Lukaku. And then I realized that when I filled out my bracket and unfortunately made the mistake of submitting it for the official FIFA World Cup game without being able to edit it, I had Germany versus France with France winning in the final.
Oh, trust me, my wallet wants France.
Yeah, I'm going with France. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be, I think there's going to be goals in it. It's going to be a spectacle to watch. I hope it doesn't go to penalties. I hope it's like 3-2 or 4-3, something like that, in extra time. But I'm going to go with France on that. And then going to the other side, we have England versus Croatia. I need to do a shout out to our listener, Dave, who his family's from Croatia. And he was very quick to point out that neither of us had them advancing from the group when we did our World Cup previews.
Oof, we did not. But it's okay, because I'm taking Croatia here.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by what would happen in terms of commerce, business, economical, you know, financial, everything for that week if England win the World Cup.
I'm gonna get so much shit for this, but I'd rather not see England win the World Cup.
Well, see, my disposition with this is pretty simple. I think these two teams are dead even, England and Croatia. I think it's going to go to penalties because the Croatia's midfield with Rakitic and Modric is just too much there, and Lovren and those guys are going to be banging on Kane the whole time. I think this is maybe like a 1-1 and it goes to penalties, unfortunately, and there's more, you know, nail biting going on.
But going to penalties, I think England wins.
I mean, Croatia's gone to penalties in both their ones before it, and it's because of that play style. I mean, I like them. I think if they played three times, I think Croatia would win two. But, I mean, obviously you don't need to do that in the World Cup. I think they're really underrated going into the tournament. For the reason is I didn't think they had enough individual horses to get here. I didn't think that Modric could carry them, but he has. So, I don't know. I think it's going to penalties. But if it goes to penalties, I would take England. If it's going to decide in the run to play Croatia, I guess for argument's sake, since you pick Croatia, I'll go with England, though. So I got France and England. I know you got Belgium.
We don't have to be contrarians. It's our podcast.
Dude, you know what? Yeah, but I'm just going to make it add a little competitive edge to it, spice things up. But yeah, with that said, that is going to do it for today's episode, looking at the FPL prices, the initial take. Remember, Chuck, we should probably tell the folks where you can find us on Twitter, since we haven't been as active as we promised we would be.
You can find us on FPL_360, where there will also be information on our FPL league.
Oh yeah, I don't know how I forgot to mention that. Yeah, this year we're going to be hosting an official FPL 360 league. We got a very good turnout for the World Cup game. Unfortunately, I don't have the standings in front of me, but we'll be tweeting out who's currently leading the pack going into the final. But yeah, that'll be fun. Spice things up. We'll do some nice prize. I know what are we giving away again?
We're giving away a mystery kit from Away Days Football. And actually, I'm pulling up the standings right now. I know I'm in like 65th place.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I took a little bit of a drop in after last round, only scoring 31 points. It is currently Mount Eden Munters, Jordan 86-24, leading the way with 291 points, but it's a slim lead over FPL_FC, not too shabby, with 290.
Oh, nice. Well, one, well done to both of them. Hopefully one of you and I will be able to catch them. We never know, though.
I'm currently back by about 60 points, so I need a big day.
I'm pretty far down there as well. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Stay tuned for more FBL-specific stuff. Most likely, we'll be doing a little World Cup recap and then segueing into transfers and then player position previews moving forward.